Blog Talk Radio.
Another Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. I'm very elated to have an opportunity to spend these evenings with you, these moments where we can really talk about things on a real state of being, if you will. So I'm looking forward to sharing with you today's topic and actually dealing with us and dealing, if you will, in this space. I'm hoping that when we meet each other right here in this area, in this space, that we have opportunities to share in such a context that's one, thought-provoking, very stimulating, and challenge us. I want us to be challenged in how we think, how we look at the Word of God. There's nothing more insulting to me as a person who was called by God to stand and represent His Word than seeing us being so swept away by any kind of doctrine, or seeing us swept away without understanding the Word, or letting people mislead us when the Word of God is right there at our fingertips. And all we have to really do is just open it up and study. Listen, I would be remiss if we didn't have prayer before we went into tonight's topic. So let us just go into have a word of prayer tonight. I'm going to ask that you draw in your minds, your hearts, from all the distractions that's around you, and just kind of unite with us in this prayer. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this hour. We thank you for this time that you've given to us that we would share with one another. We pray that you allow your principles to be clear, that they stand before us, that Jose Dorsey decreases, but ultimately, your word might increase in our hearts, in our minds, so that we'll have a closer relationship and walk with you. Lord, continue to be with those who are out there affected by incarceration, those who are out there affected by drugs, homelessness, hunger. Lord, we ask that you allow resources to come to them, that as they receive them, they'll trust and believe, they'll know that those resources came from you. And if there's any doubt in their mind, if there's any place within inside of them that is hungering after you, that thirst be quenched. That, God, you provide a way for them to see beyond their circumstances a loving God that's reaching out to them. Continue to abound in our lives, Lord. Continue to help our leaders. Continue to touch us to walk in obedience. But help us to put this in proper context and understand in your word. Continue to just keep us and guide us. We pray for marriages. Pray for families. Bless our children. Touch them. Be with them today. As we expound on your words, God, help us to make it clear as to how we should direct them. Make it clear, God, as to how we should govern ourselves according to your principles. We trust you. We believe you. In Jesus' name, we gladly say amen. Listen, today is something that's been on my mind, something that's been on my heart, something that I really want to share with all of us. And it's not one specific thing. It's actually a series of things that brings this subject home today. So if you will, today's talk is going to be based on the next generation. The next generation. If you have a Bible, you might want to join us in Proverbs 22 and 6. I'm also going to read that scripture so we can keep that into context, keep that in focus. Proverbs 22 and 6. The Bible reads, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he would not depart from us." Now, some of us are so used to listening to that from the King James Version. That was the ESV version, so I'll give it to you from King James. Bible says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it." My brothers and sisters, today, as we speak about the next generation, I recognize that there are so many different things that have gone awry with the millennials. And what I mean by the millennials is those born 2000 and after. We see young parents who are parents now from the 80s and even the 90s, children having babies. Some children, even as late as the 2000s, are now becoming parents. And so what we have is generations of people growing up without that foundational knowledge that should have been passed down to us from generation to generation. Where am I going with that? Let's flip back over into the Old Testament. I'm sorry. One of the things that you'll find is that God continually told one generation to teach your children about me. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God says, he said, "Bring the children before me that I may teach them how to reverence me." So essentially, the responsibility is that we actually bring our children before God, so that in the presence of him, they learn to fear him. They learn to reverence him, essentially. They learn to actually seek him and have relationship with him. But over time, something has fallen, y'all. Something has happened along the way somewhere where so many morals and values seem to have been depleted along the way. Let me give you evidence. You took all this. You took the prayer out of the schools. Next thing you know, we got shootings. High schools, remember Columbine? We got shootings in colleges, and we got all these different things because we've attacked the morality in a situation. We find that within the LGBTQ community that we've allowed them to have a greater voice than in the church. Am I saying disallow anybody's voice? Now, before somebody get offended saying, "Hey, oh, he obviously got a thing against the LGBTQ community," I'm not afraid to deal with I'm not afraid to deal with the LGBTQ community. I am not. But I also want it to be known very clearly that I'm not trying to take away the voice of the community. What I am trying to say is that we have a responsibility to hand down our morals and our values from one generation to the next. And some of the empowerment that we see in other communities might be because of the passiveness within the church community. I'll say that again. Some of the other communities might have gained power because the church community had been passive. And they have a lot to do with the training. The reason why the Bible says train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it, because we have a responsibility to pass on the principles, the standards, the foundation of our morals and values from one generation to the next. And so what happens when we begin to deplete these morals and values, then we pass down a broken system from one generation to the next. Do you know what happens if you take a copy and you put it on a copy machine? And rather than continually using the original, you keep using a different copy every single time, a copy, keep using a copy. Something begins to become missing. And then you will find that if you keep making copies, without having all of the information as in the original, something always becomes missing or distorted. And that's what we're doing within our generations, within our children. We're not passing them down the total package. We're not passing them down the full essence of what the Word of God is telling us today. we're not essentially training them up in the way that they should go. Now, one of the reasons why we might not be training them up is because we're afraid of our children. Why have we become afraid of our children? Because, truthfully, we become more afraid of the system. Once upon a time, it wasn't a big thing if you put a little something on the backside if a child got smart with you. It wasn't a big thing if we allowed ourselves to actually punish our children. Back when I was a kid, I wish I would ask my daddy where he was going or ask him why or question him about anything. See how fast you got slapped in the mouth. Well, back then it was corporal punishment. Nowadays they call it child abuse. Now, don't get me wrong, I do understand that some people can go too far with just punishment and abuse. But the reality is, when you look out over our generations, there's been a shift in the paradigm. There's been a shift in the way we think and the way we conduct ourselves. There's a shift in the way we raise up our children. Once upon a time, a child would be definitely afraid of coming home with a note from the teacher or giving a bad report. The teacher giving a bad report about what you've done in school. As a little boy, I couldn't imagine coming home with a letter. And back in the day, they used to put the little letter on your chest and put the little pin on your shirt to keep the letter in place on your chest. And then when you get home, your parents took it off and looked at it. I wish somebody would, like a kitchen cabinet. I wish somebody would, like a tree branch, back in the day, come home with a bad report. See how fast you got yourself tore up. And if you go back to beyond my day, to back in my parents' day, I don't know who out there can agree with this, but shoot, you might have got tore up by your parents. You might have got tore up by your uncles or aunties. You might have got tore up by whoever else was a positive person in your life at that time. That was an adult. Come on, somebody. So here it is. We have a different system about ourselves. We're not training up the child in the way that it should go. Nowadays, instead of chastising the child for wrongdoing, we want to go get up in the teacher's face. Come on. I don't know who I'm dealing with. I know a few parents right now. You tell them something wrong that their child did, the first thing they want to do is, well, why was you looking at my child so much? What do you mean? Your child clearly did something wrong. Why don't we address the wrong instead of trying to adjust the adjuster? Are y'all here today? So here it is. We have this system where our moral value system has become so depleted that we're not actually fulfilling what the Bible says regarding our next generation. We're not training them up in a way that they should go. And so the Bible also says, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So how it is can you not give him a principle to stand on in the first place? You know all the things that we're teaching our children? We're teaching our children that it's okay to shirk from your responsibilities. We're teaching our children that it's okay to be deadbeat fathers. We're teaching our children that it's okay for you to not stand up and be a man. Some people are under the impression that their lives that they live, the lives that they live is not an example for their children to follow. Because after all, some of us come from that system passed down to from our parents, do as I say and not as I do. So when you have this depleted moral system that we're passing down, eventually we get to the point where the next generation becomes lacking. I was looking at a video on Facebook. On this video on Facebook, it had like a bunch of children standing around. Some of you might have seen this. It was a bunch of teenagers, and they was looking at another teenager try to open a can with a can opener. And suffering through great difficulty, all of them were puzzled looking at this one child try to open a can with a can opener. Have we become so convenient that, you know, we don't know how to pass down simple principles from one generation to the next? Well, looking at that, you might think that it had no bearing on what we're talking about now, but the reality is it's because nobody ever showed them. Nobody ever walked alongside them and held their hands and showed them the very life-sustaining principles. Nobody ever, like, took the time to show them, like, this is how you feed yourself. This is how you cook food. This is how you look at life. When you look at life, life have a lot to do with what you put into it. is going to be what you get out of it. If you step up to the plate and you think you're going to strike out, chances you are. But if you step up knowing, trusting, and believing that you can be productive, you can be somebody, you can fulfill your purpose, you can go forward with your visions, your dreams, your aspirations, yes, you can succeed, and you give them a sense of drive, a sense of understanding, a sense of dignity, a sense of pride, a sense of belonging, give them, fill them with love, fill them with the principles, give them the discipline that they need. I'll say that again. Give them the discipline that they need. The Bible says that you spare the rod, and this has a lot to do with how we pass down information. The Bible says that if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Now, let me not be stuck up in this. I'm going to be real with everybody because I'm just as much responsible as the next man. I'm just as much responsible as the next man. I love my child so much. So one of the things that I tell myself is that I'm going to give my child the very best. And so in me giving my child the very best, the reality is I sometimes slip on what I need to actually pass down to him. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He that spareth the rod hateth his child, his son, hateth his son. But he that loves him chastens him in times." Let me read this from the ESV version. Same verse, Proverbs 13:24 said, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." Understand what the Bible is saying here. When it says hate, essentially you can replace the word hate with love less. You don't love your child like you say you love your child if you spare him the discipline that he needs. Let me say that for somebody again. Because that has a lot to do with the misguidance of the next generation. You do not love your child the way you say that you love your child or the way you're supposed to love your child if you do not discipline or her or them. You just don't. Why? The Bible even talks about, like, when you actually, when you put the rod on your child, when you're chasing your child, you deliver his soul from hell. What does that mean? You give him that instruction that he needs in order to go forward and be productive. You instill in him those principles by discipline. Now, sometimes it takes trial and error. And truthfully, as for me and my house, I choose to serve the Lord, and I want to tell you like this in my house. I'd rather put something on your backside right now, have you mad at me right now, than have the world try to teach you the same lesson that I was trying to teach you. Because the reality is, if I don't correct you for lying, if I don't correct you for stealing, And I don't correct you for the different things that you've done, violating curfew, establishing rules, and making sure you follow those rules. If I don't correct you right now, life is going to penalize you a lot later. So here it is. I try to instill the discipline to honor your curfew. Don't hang out with the wrong crowd. Tell the truth. Be honorable. Actually stand up and do the right thing. Don't be out hanging out. Don't steal nobody's property. Don't kill them. So here it is in my house. I'm trying to instill these principles, and you understand that the life is going to teach those principles to our children in a different way. You got to teach them before the devil teaches them, because when the devil teaches to them, it probably might be too late. And we look up, we have children having children, young children trying to be parents. They haven't even gathered all the information yet. You ain't done training them up yet, but you wasn't correcting them either. You weren't disciplining them either. So now, because he didn't get all the information, little Johnny gone out, and he got a young lady that's knocked up. Now she's pregnant. And she's just as old as he is, or maybe even younger, so neither one of them got all of the information. What are they going to pass down to this child? And here it is. You know that how teenage love goes. Teenage love, they might be together this week. They might not be together next week. So now we got young baby daddy and young baby mama. Then you flip over and you look at the prison system, and you'll find that it's very astounding, especially in a black community, when you look at what's happening in the prison system. Take a poll and understand how many of these people come from fatherless households. Look at the system. Look at the system and see that the system is very quick to give the mother custody. Right? Well, it's the norm. Now, we know that, you know, You got the norm, and then you got what's outside of the norm. You got the rule, you got the exception to the rule. It's the rule, people. It's the rule.
So here we created an environment, a situation where we're actually promoting or we're proponents of fatherless households. So what does that mean? That means that we actually increase the probability of this child going to prison. And then here it is, if the parents don't have the information to pass down to the child, the child is already the product of a fatherless household because now the parents are not together. They too young and too ignorant to understand what it really meant when they were coming together or even what it means for them not to be together now and trying to raise a child. So without them having the information, what is going to happen usually with this child? Well, how will he get the information that he needs? Who's going to help him with his homework? Who's going to help him be productive? Who's going to give him morals and values and give him the things that he needs in order for him to somebody scared me. Switch up under the door. Who's going to actually give this child the things that he needs in order to be successful in life? So here it is. We see this child coming up. And the reality is that they might end up in a penal system or going in a prison system. I heard one of the things that we've actually studied and we actually found out, I'm sorry, is that they look at test scores from third graders. So if we're looking at the test scores from third graders to determine how many prisons we're already going to build, then the reality is we're creating an environment where we have to build more prisons than to create programs to send more children to college. And that's something that ought to be really convicting. And that's something that ought to show us just how much we have dropped the ball on training up the child in the way that he should go. It's kind of like me thinking about people say, well, you know, the Holy Ghost will bring back those memories, bring back to my memories the things that, you know, he basically taught me. Yeah, the Holy Ghost will bring back to your memories, but guess what? You have to remember first. You have to put it in there first. So if you never took the time to go and study his word, you never took the time to instill the word or try to learn the word of God, then what is he going to bring back to your memories? What is there to bring back? Same thing I have to ask you today. If you never instilled in your child morals, values, and principles, taught them about God, how can you expect for him to return to those ways? How can you expect that? It says, when you spread a rod, you spoil a child, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. If you really love your child, the reality is we should discipline them. Am I saying that discipline should look like always physical abuse or physically putting our hands on our children? It doesn't necessarily always look like that. But if your child is hard-headed, your child don't listen to you, and they're walking around with Jordans, you ought to slap yourself. Your child is walking around with cellular phones and fresh haircuts, and your child is walking around with all of these different amenities that you can barely even afford. You walking around getting broke on Christmas time, and they're walking around with Easter outfits, or they're walking around fresh to death when they're at school, but meanwhile, you can't even get them to do their chores. You ought to slap yourself. Because the reality is we're withholding that level of discipline. Your child won't even honor your curfew that you set. Your child answer you with yup and nope instead of yes, sir. No, ma'am. Yes, no. We're not instilling those values in them and them. We're expecting them to be productive in society. And we wonder why we're part of a system that builds prisons, makes more allotment for prison spaces than make allotments for seats in college. Folks, we have to be mindful of the next generation, but that next generation is going to start with us. See, notice the Bible says train up a child in the way that he should go, but first you got to deal with the train. You got to deal with the training. The training is on us as the more knowledgeable generation, as the older generation, as the more seasoned. We have to do a better job of training them up. Okay, I told him to do this and he just wouldn't do it. Okay, you have to put some training on him. Training involves correction. Training involves discipline. When I went to the United States Marine Corps, I was in boot camp. I felt like I was already a finished product when I got there. But when I got there, they took away some things from me. They took away my hair. They took away how I looked, how I thought, how I spoke. They took away those things, and they taught me how to walk a different way. It was called marching. They taught me how to hold my chest up and to curl my fingers, and my fingers to look a certain way. They taught me how to step and look very disciplined in how I step. They taught me the 1,000-yard stare called the position of attention. They taught me how to shoot. They taught me how to have these different disciplines in my life that made me more sharp. I almost wish, if it wasn't for how I perceived the government, to be completely honest with you, and as far as not so much the practices of our government, but in so much as how I perceived, I'll just say it, the government and as far as our defense system, I do and I don't believe that every young man and woman should be able to be a part of a system that instills that level of discipline in them. I believe that every young man, every young woman could benefit tremendously from the system of discipline that they give you in boot camp or in the military, and how they actually polish you and they refine you as a person. So I want to make that clear. I'm not recommending that everybody go to the military, but I am recommending that we have that level of discipline instilled in our lives. That's what I'm trying to say. And so if we had that, we would have more refinement. We would have a generation of people that were able to have a certain level of discipline about themselves. The reason why we become driven as ex-military members or military people that have gone to the military and the armed forces, because we've taken on a certain perspective of life that's been passed down to us. And so there's a certain refinement about an individual that have had that level of discipline. And that's the type of refinement that really should start from home. I'm praying that we are able to be a people that look out and we truly seek to train up this next generation so that they'll be stronger, so that they'll be wiser, so that they won't have to be baby daddies and baby mamas. I think God called them to be more than just some thugs sitting on the corner and sagging their pants. I think God called them to be more than just some teeny bopper music listening kids who's rebellious and choose not to be obedient and lack discipline. I believe that God has called our men and women to be very knowledgeable in his word. I think he called them to be believers. I think he called them to be evangelistic. I think he called them to be successful. I think he called them with a sense of purpose. I think he called them to belong to him. I think he called them to be an example before the rest of the world. I think he called them to be something called an image bearer. He created us all in his own image. And so if you love your child and you believe that child, and this don't even have to be your child. It could be somebody that you pour into from the next generation. Maybe you don't have children. But if you care enough about what's happening to the future of our families, the future of even your relatives, the reality is we pour more into the next generation. Let us continue to love them, and let us continue to pour into them and train them up so that they'll be successful and God-fearing and God-loving. Listen, this has been my time. I would like to thank you again for joining us with Theologically Speaking, Jose Dorsey. It's been my honor, privilege, pleasure. God bless you.
Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thyself. With thy presence, oh, cover me, Lord, with thy cover me, Lord, with thy